When I was in high school, I used to sucker and prime tobacco on farms in southern Ontario near St. Thomas, where I was born. I'd be up at 6 a.m. every morning, and I'd start with my crew at 7 a.m. We'd start work in the fields when there was heavy dew. And I'd be soaking wet right up to the skin in minutes. And then the heat of the morning would come, and my clothes and all of our clothes out in the fields would dry. But the tar from the tobacco leaves would stick on my fingers as if I'd put my hand in a pot of honey. That was a job. Hot summer heat, hands sticking, back-breaking work. You bend it over up and down, carrying loads of leaves to the tobacco boat. The job required that you start at the bottom, right at the ground level, and you would walk, and if you've got hat in the right rhythm, you would go like that all day from 7 o'clock until you had all the boats required to be filled to fill the kiln. And then I would get my denarius. That was the job. I got $12 a day. And I'm not kidding you. This is very serious. Maybe there's people in this room that should identify with this. $12 a day, and I was in high school, which would 64? Thereabouts? Some of you probably had jobs too. I can tell you, there were people that had full-time factory jobs that scheduled their holidays during the priming season so they could go and make more money priming tobacco than they could at their factory job. But it was tough. It was awful. But you see, there were, I have to be honest with you, I was really glad for the opportunity. Really thankful that I had a job opportunity to pay that well. I was still in high school. I think everybody was. Not everyone had the advantage I had, and those of us that were out in those fields, as miserable as it was. But I understand how the workers felt, I believe, in the scripture we just heard today. They were delighted to get invited to work at the landowner's fields. Wouldn't you say, yep, good, hired. Wow, I got a job today. Wonderful. It might have been hard working in the vineyard. I haven't worked in a vineyard, but I suspect picking grapes, trying to figure out which ones the ripe ones and which ones aren't, would be hard. You would probably get nailed by the foreman if you'd left too many ripe ones behind and took too many green ones, which you shouldn't have. I suspect there was all kinds of challenges being a, you know, working in a vineyard. But in the end, the results were good. They had money to spend, those people working in the vineyard. Delighted. The rewards are the reason for persevering through the heat of the day, working hard, and they were grateful for the invitation to serve the farmer. They appreciated farmers for their blessing that they were looking forward to receiving at the end of a long, hard day. I think they also appreciated the security, the peace that comes with knowing that you're going to be able to receive the promised reward. They would feel blessed. Oh, isn't that true about you and I who have got a job? Don't you honestly, as much as you hate getting up at 4:30 in the morning, Caroline, you know, as much as you hate driving to work, you know, through crazy traffic conditions and all the stuff that you have to go through in those days that you would remember well, you also had to say, well, you know what? As a result of this traffic condition, and I'm going to work, I'm going to pay my mortgage. And if I work real hard, we're going to have the kitchen remodeled. And didn't you? You had dreams because you had a job and because you were blessed with the privilege of working. However, I doubt if I would have felt fairly treated. If at day's end, the workers who arrived after me, who came into the field, who didn't toil, sweat, and contend with the wet, the tar for such a long period, the sweat and the stickiness, I don't think I would have been really pleased if they had got the same reward I got. I think I would have been especially disappointed, possibly even angry, when the people who arrived late worked for an hour and received the same payment. It just doesn't seem fair. Do you agree? Doesn't seem fair. Yet, every one of us received what we agreed to. We received the promised reward. But I did feel I should have got more after all. How can you give those people that worked for an hour what I did after working 8 or 9? But let's look at it a different way. The sundown is coming, and what if I didn't receive the invitation from the farmer to work in the field? What if those people, almost dark, and I haven't received anything to pay for my kids' food? I've got nothing to go to the marketplace with. And in Jesus' day, that would have been a total disaster because they had bigger families than we do today. Hungry mouths to feed. What if I was the one left out? What if I was the one who didn't get an invitation to go to the fields? How would you feel if you didn't get invited to work and your family was going to starve? What if you weren't going to receive a blessing by working? What if you and I were on the outside, looking in, left behind? Would that seem fair? What if no one came to the marketplace where we hang out? What if you never heard the invitation, Ruth? Never. To come to the fields. Wouldn't that seem unfair? You see, we are talking about Jesus telling a parable, the kingdom of heaven is like, right? We don't want to get hung up on the economy because that's not what Jesus is talking about. He's not talking about the fair play that, oh yes, a guy who works 8 hours should get paid more than a guy who only works an hour. That's got nothing to do with this story at all. Because we're talking about the kingdom of God. We're talking about the person who got left behind, who didn't get the invitation to come and be with God. That's what this parable is about. So don't get hung up on the economy because you'd be wrong about it. It's not at all what Jesus was saying. So there's many situations when we hear about the invitation. But you know what? Like me, maybe like you, at some point, you heard the invitation to come, quote, to work in the heaven's gardens, in the vineyard, to join in. And you turned it down, flat, but not interested in that. That Christian stuff? Are you crazy? So you didn't accept the opportunity when it was offered. Or we were invited, and we graciously accepted the invitation to come to church and hear the good news. But we never showed up. Don't you know, don't you have family members? Don't you know others that you've invited and they graciously, oh sure, yeah. But they don't show up. I guess now we get what we deserved. Because we live with the consequences of our choices. The opportunity to come and hear the good news. The opportunity to live in a community of believers in the one and only God. And we didn't take the invitation. We decided to be one of those left behind by our choice. Jesus says in the opening with the reading this morning, the kingdom of God is like this. Those who accept the invitation are blessed. They're secure. They're confident of their destiny. And we know that the sunrise leads to sunset, but we're safe in the arms of Jesus the whole time. You see, that's what we're talking about, right? At sunrise, we accept the invitation to go to the field, accept the invitation to become a Christian, to accept Jesus as our Savior. So what do we have? We have peace. And it leads to sunset, but we're safe. We're safe in the arms of Jesus the whole time. We don't know the day, the hour, or the minute that we may be called. But everyone is called. That is, who hears the invitation. But you see, the problem is some people don't get invited. It's true. Do you know why? Because people like you and I, who are the workers, right? We don't share the good news. We're too shy. We you know, that would be uncomfortable for me to reach out to someone and pass on the good news. I mean, it's just not my style, Lord. So, some people will never get invited because some of us, like yours truly, at one time particularly, was guilty of never inviting them. I just knew they weren't interested, so I loved it. I was so thankful that I knew Jesus as my Savior. I'd resisted for a long time, but when I finally accepted, oh man, what a blessing. But I wasn't too quick to invite others. Or after the initial rush, which is often the case, then after a while, a little time goes on and you find yourself kind of in the humdrum and you don't give the invitations. Some will be invited, but they defer the invitation. That's true. Because they've perceived that the world has to offer a lot better deal. It's much more exciting than the offer that the creator of the world has to offer. The evil one, absolutely, unequivocally, is guilty of deception. The world's possessions, the things that we can have in this world, they are so attractive, and we think we deserve them. I worked hard. I deserve a pool in my backyard. I desire a bigger car. I desire a new cottage. I should have this. I should be able to trip to wherever I want to go. It's like the glitz, right? The self-serving ambition that attracts us like a moth to a fire. We don't realize that we can be consumed by the fire. And as a result, those of us who choose the world, we find out that it's not safe, that it is not secure, and that we're not welcome into God's plan for his kingdom for you. Those people don't know the love of Christ. They don't know that Jesus died for them. They don't come together as we do this morning, for instance, in fellowship and realize that God is present in their very midst, in their time of need. They don't have that. They're all alone. I've been reading a chapter out of a book about loneliness. Christians can be lonely for a lot of reasons. But can you imagine the devastation of being alone when you don't know Christ? When you're totally and completely lost? They don't experience having people come alongside when they're challenged. When people who say, I'll pray for you, mean it, and they do. But others don't have that because they've never accepted the invitation, right? They don't experience people coming alongside them, especially when they need them. And the one person they don't experience is the Holy One, the Comforter, Jesus, because they have never accepted the invitation. One of the challenges for Christians who have walked with Jesus a long time, and there are people here who have, much longer than I, it's hard to accept the person who arrives in the field, if you like, at the 11th hour. Hard to accept them, because what do we know? Hey, they're getting like what I've been getting, and I've been doing this since I was 11 when I made a decision for Christ. Doesn't seem fair that a murderer in prison, who's never showed any remorse ever until he came to an Alpha course in prison, and he heard about Jesus and discovered that there really is a Lord and Savior in their life, and that they're justified to stand before him on their passing, just like the other person who's been there since 11 years of age. Some people really question that. Doesn't seem right. They shouldn't be allowed to be there. Yeah, those people, Jesus says, this is what exactly his words, only with one little suggestion. You'll hear what I'm saying. Yes, Jesus said, those people worked only 1 hour, and yet I paid them just as much as I paid you, who worked all day in the scorching heat. That's Jesus making a choice. Yep, those people who worked 1 hour. Yeah, that guy who's a fraud artist, who built millions from trusting seniors. If he were to meet Jesus, if he accepted the invitation, however it might come, maybe from a fellow fraud artist who saw the light and came to Jesus and shared it with this guy, built millions. But you know what? If he truly, not falsely, not conveniently, not for a personal advantage of the moment, but if he really believed what he had done was absolutely, completely wrong, what did God ask us to do this morning? Love God with all your heart, soul, and your mind. But love your neighbor as yourself. You built all those people out of their millions, certain seniors who are losing their pension funds, and yet that terrible person, if he suddenly came to the truth at the 11th hour, he'd be welcome too. Hard to take, isn't it? God's mercy and grace even given to that person. How about a wife beater? How about a priest who abuses children? How about you or me? Granted mercy and grace. So there is really a God who created us. He sent his son to teach us how to live, to achieve mercy and redemption, to receive eternal life. It's good news, my friends. Jesus is teaching in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the Gospels. He's declaring that it's not what you do, it's what God did through his son Jesus. Don't be too hard on the person who came to Christ late in their life, through whatever circumstances. No, if we use the world scale of fairness, well, even you and I wouldn't measure up. We maybe didn't build millions. We maybe didn't do terrible things, really. But you know and I know that we have made mistakes. And that's the point. The point is that Jesus is your brother. He's your Savior. And he went the extra mile to make you worthy. He died on the cross for us. He came, taught us, and then died on the cross so that we'd be worthy to stand. So you're blessed. And that's the real point that I'm trying to get from our sermon here. Like I said, you can go 17 different ways with this sermon if you want to do. But as I was studying it this week, I felt very motivated to share with you. Start counting your blessings instead of comparing yourself to the person who's got more or reveling over the person who doesn't have what you have. Celebrating reality. The truth is, Jesus did it all. He sent his Holy Spirit to you and to me to guide us into a life that was worth living. So you're much blessed. We got a roadmap to eternal life. And those of us who got on the road sooner than others should be thanking ourselves. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me to know the truth that whenever I might pass through this world, whatever time I'm going to go into the other dimension, I'll be with you. I'll be made worthy because of you. I am worthy because of you. You'll find yourself walking, even if you take it at the 11th hour, you suddenly give up conceit. That's what the devil does. Always makes us self pride. Wouldn't it be nice to have got rid of that long ago? Sooner maybe. Jealousy and anger. See, that's what walking with Jesus does for us. We're not giving up anything. We're not giving up all the glamour and the glitz. We're gaining peace. We're gaining true understanding that Jesus made us worthy. So we can be at peace. We can have confidence. You're blessed. In summary, I would say that we do need to start counting our blessings. That's what this gospel to me says. Don't complain when others are doing well. Just be thankful for what you have got. It's powerful. It's simple. Start each morning in prayer. It's been particularly easy for me to be out of my house in the last little while because I've gone to an amazing spot every morning, waking up day after day after day after day. And lately, it's been glorious sunshine popping up just around 6:30, coming up over the trees, and there's that globe. What a blessing. What a time to pray. I was saying to Barbara this morning that I had the privilege of praying again for you guys, name by name, each as I'm looking around you, and there's several here that's not here that I was praying for this morning also. But what a joy to be able to call to prayer and think of you personally and your wife, you know, Emmett, that little baby. To pray for Cameron, who's not here this morning, but to know him, just to love him. So count your blessings. Start praying for each of us in this room and those who are not at this moment. That's a blessing. Doesn't matter whether they came at the 11th hour to Christ or it came all their life. My wife would say she never really became a Christian because she always was one. She really means that. She was growing up, going to church as a young child. She accepted Jesus almost osmotically, if you will. You know, she made a personal decision for Christ. That's a fact. But the truth is, she never felt far from him ever. Interesting. But some of us came at the last hour. Count your blessings one by one. And Mary, I said to her, I said, if I gave you an opportunity to lead us in that song quickly, she said, you didn't give me quite enough time. She would be. But I do think that would have been an appropriate hymn. And I only came to that conclusion when this morning. I should have called the music team and asked them to consider that. Count your blessings one by one. So finally, my friends, don't give up. For anybody that you love and care for, don't give up. The 11th hour is real. Jesus says in the scriptures, he will pay that person the same at the 11th hour as he is the person that was enjoying the benefits of being a Christian, walking in his faith all the many, many years that they did. They will have missed out on the peace and the love that they experienced all those longer years. Yes, they would have. They would have toiled with the challenges of how they're going to pay the bills and never think there was anybody who cared. They will have never been prayed for by people like you for all those many years that they denied Jesus. But at some point, when they do accept Jesus, they're welcomed into the kingdom. The kingdom is now, as you know that. The kingdom you're in now. Scriptures tell us we are talking about the now, not sometime when we pass into another dimension. The kingdom, when you made a decision for Christ, started that moment and will continue until you're in his arms. So we've got a lot to be thankful for. We got to find people that don't know that peace. And God, as it says in the scriptures, will not stop seeking. He started the first thing in the morning, then he went out at noon, then he went out at 3 o'clock, then he went out at 5 o'clock. At the last hour, he was trying to find people to go and work in the vineyard to be receiving the blessing. So if he, and you know he isn't, giving up on those you love, don't you? Amen. Thank you, Lord. Your scriptures are amazing. We're all vulnerable. We are all challenged at times. But those of us that know the truth, that you love us so completely that you would come in the form of Jesus to teach us, guide us, and ultimately to die for us. Let us be able to share that good news with all the people we meet.